All right, it's exciting to be here. Just want to thank Pastor Jimenez, and of course, thank you, Verity Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor Anderson, and everyone who came out to be a part of this great exploit that's going to take place tomorrow. And I'm excited to see some souls saved in San Francisco, amen? It's going to be great, and you know, fear not, amen? We're going to be okay. Everything's going to be just fine. You know, don't believe all the rumors that you hear about San Francisco. There's still a remnant of people there that are just normal people that need the gospel, amen? And those are the people we're going to go for tomorrow. I have a short amount of time. I just want to preach real quick, get out of the way so Pastor Anderson can come and rip some face on the homos. I mean, preach about, you know, the gospel and stuff. So I just want to motivate you to go out and preach the gospel and just remind us tonight why it is we do what we do, okay? Look down at your Bibles at Numbers chapter 16, verse 47. It says, "And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." And the title of the sermon this evening is Standing Between the Dead and the Living. Of course, we know in Numbers chapter 16, this is a very famous story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, their destruction, their rebellion against biblical authority. And due to that, God opens up the earth, swallows them up. They go down quick into hell. And we see that that punishment comes upon them because of their rebelliousness. But then later on in verse 41, it says, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.'" So we see that the example that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram gave was a bad example towards everyone else and really influenced them to really buck the authority as well. And what was the result of that? What was the ramification of the consequence of this attitude that the congregation had? Well, God was just fed up with it. And because of it, the plague, the punishment went out into the congregation. People started dying left and right. Moses and Aaron, who loved people, Moses and Aaron, who had a heart for people, did not want them to see destroyed. He didn't want them to see go quick down into hell. He didn't want the plague to affect the people that were there. So with urgency, they ran to make an atonement in order to save them, which were lost. And the Bible tells us that when they made that atonement in verse 48, that Aaron stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. So it took the effort of one man, two men, specifically we're talking about Aaron tonight, to stand between those who had suffered the consequences of sin and were currently in hell, and those who were still alive and had an opportunity to get right. And that's what I want to talk about this evening, and I want to apply it to the soul winning marathon that's going to be taking place tomorrow. Because what are we doing when we go out to San Francisco? What are we doing when we go out and preach the gospel? Well, we're doing exactly what Aaron did, which is we're standing between the dead and the living. We're standing between those who are dead in their trespasses and sin and those who are saved. You know, we're standing between those who have died and gone to hell and those who still have an opportunity to be saved. When we preach the gospel, we're making a deliberate choice to stand between these two people groups. And look, God is often looking for individuals to make a difference, right? You know, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them, a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." He says, I'm just looking for one individual, one vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use, someone who would just stand up and stand in the gap that I should not destroy the land and destroy the individuals within that land, but I didn't find any. Now, thank God that tomorrow, that will not be said of us, amen? That will not be said of us today in California. You know, they say the land of fruits and nuts. You know, they call it, you know, oh, you know, this is the land of fruits and nuts, and this place is crazy. Well, you know what? There's still a remnant. There's still people here and prophets who have not bowed the knee to Baal that are going to be showing up tomorrow to preach the gospel and see people say, we're going to stand in the gap tomorrow. And God's not going to be able to say of us, I found none. He's going to say, I found many who are willing to stand in the gap to make up the hedge that he should not destroy the individuals within this land. You know, there's a plague going out today, just as it was in Numbers chapter 16. That plague is sin. And it's going out, it's destroying men, women, boys and girls, families, marriages, right? It's sin that's plaguing this land. It's sin that's plaguing the nation that we live in. And it's sin that's taking people straight to hell. And just like Aaron, We are seeking to stay the plague of sin and its ramifications on mankind by simply going out there and giving them the gospel. Because what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, obviously we want to help with their marriages. We want to help with their, you know, service to Christ. We want to give them a place where they can meet and grow. But more important than that, the initial importance is this, to get them saved, right? So they are not to suffer the consequences of their actions, their sins. Now, what are we standing in between of? Well, I mentioned briefly in the very beginning, we're standing between those that are dead in their sins and those that are saved. I'm sure there's people in San Francisco that are saved. Very few, but I'm sure there's some that are saved. You know, the Bible tells us, and you hath he quickened in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the principality of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who we're going to reach. Not the children of Satan, not the sons of Belial, the children of wrath, the children of disobedience, those who still have an opportunity to be saved. And, you know, we might go out there to San Francisco and meet some saved people, and we're going to put some material in their hand and maybe transform their minds, help them to be renewed in the spirit of their minds, get their doctrine right. But more than that, we're going out there to reach those who are dead in their trespasses and sin. We're standing in between those who are dead in their sins and those who are saved. But not only that, we're standing between those that have died and gone to hell and those that are still physically alive. We are in that great goal fix. You know, unfortunately, I'm sure there's many who have died and gone to hell in San Francisco. And it's too late for them, right? But there's still people out there who are willing to listen. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. You know, we know the terror of the Lord. We know that hell exists. We know the eternal punishment that's going to come upon a lost and dying world that does not trust in Christ. And that should do what? Persuade us, move us to persuade others to be saved. To beseech them, to beg them, to trust Christ as their Savior. So we stand in between those who have died and gone to hell and those who still have an opportunity. And look, we're standing between those who are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and those who still have a chance, right? Because I'm sure there's going to be some sodomites there. And, you know, obviously we're not worried about them. We want to reach those who still have an opportunity. Let me give you a couple principles for standing in between the dead and the living according to Numbers chapter 16. Number one, go with me if you would. Look down at your Bibles at Numbers 16. Look at verse 41. First and foremost, in order to stand between the dead and the living, we have to understand that we need to stand in spite of the opposition. Stand in spite of opposition. Look what it says in verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. No, son, it was themselves that killed themselves. It was God who allowed them to be destroyed because of the rebellion against him. It wasn't Moses' fault. You know, it's Moses' message. It's Pastor Jimenez's message. It's his sermon. It's because of people like Pastor Anderson that are turning away from Christ. You know, you're going to turn people away with that hateful message. No, what's going to take people to hell is the rejection of Jesus Christ. And what's going to cause people to be disillusioned and discouraged and just turn away from Christ is watered down preaching. It's when people don't go and actually give them the gospel. You know, we need to stand in spite of opposition. You know, you would think that in light of what took place with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, a lot of people would say, you know what, let's get under authority here. Do you guys see what happened to those people? You know, but even in spite of that, they were still rebellious towards the authority there. They weren't learning from the mistakes of others. Instead of doing this, they decide to oppose the men of God. So go with me, if you would, hold your place there, number 16. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible tells us in Psalm 9:7, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. You know, America is going to hell in a handbasket, right? It's turning away from God, and it shall be turned into hell. And we see the consequences of the sin and the wicked people that have brought it upon our country. It has provoked the wrath of God. But still, you know, people are still not willing to humble themselves. They see what sin does to their families. They see what sin can do to a nation, to states and cities and families. But yet, in spite of that, they're still not willing to turn to Christ. They're opposing themselves. What does the Bible say in verse 24 of 2 Timothy 2? And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. What is this telling us? You know, when we're out there sowing, we're not there to argue with people. We're not there to be mean to them. We're not there to condemn them because they're already condemned, right? We're there to try with meekness and fear, trembling and fear. You say, why would you be afraid? Why would you tremble? Because they're on the brink of hell. That's why. Their soul lies in the balance. And you're there to give them the gospel, to try to persuade them with meekness and fear to be saved. It says in verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You see, these people who are opposing the men of God still love them. To the point where they were running with urgency to try to save them. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. So we see here that a lot of people that we're going to reach tomorrow are just opposing themselves. Maybe they were, you know, taught false doctrine. Maybe they went to a lame church that did not, that taught repent of your sins. Or maybe they're part of some false cult out there that taught them some false doctrine that they had to work their way to heaven. They had to be baptized and whatnot. You know, they oppose themselves. We're there to instruct them. With meekness and fear, what is the right way to believe? What is the right way of salvation and to plead with them? This opposition could come in the form of false doctrine, competing for the minds of those we are trying to win. This is why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, if someone rejects you tomorrow, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. Don't take offense to it. And in fact, the Bible says to leap for joy, to rejoice. But we should be heartbroken at the same time when people reject the message. It should cause sorrow and grief and lamentation within our hearts when we run into someone and they say, no, no, thank you, I don't have time. Or I know what you're saying and I believe it, but not for me right now. That should devastate us. We shouldn't say, oh, that guy's reprobate. That guy's a reprobate. He's like, not necessarily. Maybe they just have a lot to overcome, right? And we're trying to help them to overcome the false ideologies, false doctrines in order to be saved. And look, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We need to stand in spite of opposition. Tomorrow when the doors are slammed, if that happens, tomorrow if someone rejects you, keep standing between the dead and the living. Don't be discouraged. Don't come back and say, oh, that was terrible. I can't believe we tried that. No, you stood between the dead and the living. Amen. And your labor is not in vain. The word of God will not come back and will not return void, the Bible says. Amen. The seed will be planted. Someone will get saved. And I believe a lot of people are going to get saved tomorrow. Amen. Go back to number 16. Number 16. So we have to stand in spite of opposition when we're standing between the dead and the living. But not only that, we have to stand while there's still time. Stand between the dead and the living while there's still time. Look what it says in verse 45. Get you up from among the congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. He says, I'm going to do it right in a moment. What is this showing us? This is showing us the brevity of life. Because at one moment, these people are alive. And the next moment, the plague can hit them and they can die. And this shows us, this should teach us in regards to soul winning, that the reason why we should do this every week, the reason why we should preach the gospel whenever we have the opportunity is because the life is brief. Life is but a vapor. It's here for a moment. And once that person dies, it's all over. It's too late. Look, folks, this is why we should seek to win our families to Christ. This is why we should seek to reach our cousins and our aunts and our uncles and those who are not religious and those who you know, maybe they've been turned off, but for whatever reason, we should seek to pray for them, to fast for them, and to win them over to Christ because the time is brief, the brevity of life. The Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. You know, the knowledge of God is not in them, not because they're not seeking it out, not necessarily because, you know, whatever church is available. It's because God's people are not rising up to impart into them the truth. And he says, I speak this to your shame. So we got to stand while there's still time. And we have to plead with them. You know, it's interesting. Today, we arrived this morning, and I was doing some interviews for the vaccine documentary they were putting together. And I was contacted by a young lady who actually found a clip of mine on the internet. And the clip that she found was short hair on women is sinful. And this lady, you know, she thought she was a Christian. She thought she was saved. And she said that she wanted to cut her hair really short. She said, I want to cut my hair really short, but I want to know what God thinks of it. So she typed in on the internet. She said, you know, short hair on women, Christian women. And my video popped up. And honestly, when I posted that a while ago, it's a pretty rough clip. You know, I just kind of went off a little bit and just kind of vented. And I remember even reading through some of the comments and people said, like, there's this one lady who said, you're really mean, but I don't think I'm going to cut my hair short after listening to this clip. And then this young lady who contacted me, she said, I saw your clip. I found your clip. What does the Bible say about this? So I began to give her some verses, and I was teaching her what the Bible said about it. But then I just asked her, I said, you know, are you 100% sure that if you die today, you go to heaven? This is over the phone. And she said, no, I'm doubting. I don't know. I believe I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, but I just don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. So I took that opportunity to witness to her. And man, she had a lot to overcome. And I remember there came a point where I was just like, I don't think she's getting it. Because she was just like, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this. I'm doubting. And I just gave her scripture. And Brother Marcus was there praying for her, praying that her heart would open. And I remember thinking to myself, and I told her, I said, look, don't put this off. You can die tomorrow. And it's all over from there. And guess what? Whether you cut your hair short or not, will not matter. Whether you obey God and allowing your hair to grow, it's not going to matter in hell. Because you will burn forever and you will forever lose your opportunity. You say, what were you doing? I was trying to save her with fear. Pull her out of the fire and she got saved. Amen. And thank God for that. So we have to make sure that we are doing our best to stand between the dead and the living. Go look at Numbers chapter 16, verse 46. And understand that the life is brief. This is why there should be some urgency. Look what it says in verse 46. It says, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. So as we stand between the dead and the living, realize that standing takes sacrifice. Takes your sacrifice. Obviously, we know we don't have to adhere to these Old Testament laws, but they have a spiritual significance that we should, you know, be a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is it going to take to win people to Christ? Sacrifice of your time. And thank you for being here, amen. You're sacrificing your time to come tomorrow and see people saved. It's going to require your time, your resources, your talent, your study, preparing, you know, memorizing the verses, knowing illustrations, knowing what specific phrases to say, memorizing the Romans Road. It requires your effort, the sacrifice of your time in order to stand between the dead and the living. Look at verse 47. It also takes urgency. So we need to stand between the dead and the living with what? With urgency. Look what it says in verse 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. What do we see Aaron doing? Running. He's not dragging his feet like a Jehovah's Witness. And then just kind of post it on the corner. just waiting for his time to be done. He's running. Why? Because the wave of the plague, the wave of the consequence is consuming the congregation. He's trying to rescue as many people as he possibly can. So what is he doing? He runs. He doesn't walk, he runs. Because he understands there's urgency. If I don't run, if I don't have that urgency within my heart to recognize that people are dying and going to hell today, many people will suffer that consequence of the plague. And the Bible tells us, John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Have urgency when we go out there. Have urgency in regards to soul. Now, I'm not saying you have to sprint to every door. Like, enjoy the fellowship in between doors, amen? Talk to your partner, have fellowship. You know, I'm not saying you have to sprint or run to every door and just, you know, what I'm saying is our attitude should be urgency, right? Look at verse 48. Here's my last point. Finishing early, Pastor Anderson. I was having trouble. I was like, how am I going to preach a 30-minute sermon? This is a difficult task. And I thought to myself, I'm probably going to go over the time because I have a lot of notes, but I think I just spewed everything out. So we're good to go. Here's my last point is that when we stand between the dead and the living, we need to stand having done all to stand. What does that mean? Just lay it all out there. Put it all on the table. Give it your all. Numbers 16:48 says, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. You know, it's when Aaron just put it all out there. He ran. He made the atonement. He did what he could on his part to make it happen that the plague was stayed. Don't be the type of person to say, well, you know, I'm just one person. I'm just one individual. I'm just one soul winner. What difference can I make just with me? You know, how many people can I see saved? What kind of difference can I make for eternity? I'm just one person. Well, one person is all God needs in order to rescue thousands. But it requires this one person to stand, having done all to stand. It requires the individual to just lay it all out there. Put in 100% effort. Do everything you can on your part to make it happen, and God will fulfill the rest. It says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians 3. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Colossians 3:22. The Bible says in verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do. Hey, wouldn't we say that whatsoever also includes soul winning? It includes preaching the gospel, and it includes discipling people, and includes the Great Commission. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. What are we saying here in this last point? You know, when we go out there tomorrow in San Francisco, come back with nothing, but you'll come back with much. You'll come back with souls. You'll come back with people whose hearts the Lord had touched and opened. But come back knowing you gave it your all. You gave it all your heart. That's what God wants. Okay? And look, it's important to see people saved, but don't be discouraged if you don't see someone saved. You took care of your responsibility. But we know that when we go and we sow those seeds, eventually someone else might come and water those seeds, and that person will get saved. Amen. What God wants you to do is just lay it all out there. Hey, tomorrow we're standing between the dead and the living. Remember that. As we walk through the streets, as we go through the neighborhoods, there are some that are dead, and there's some that are living. And what we're there to do is to stay the plague in order that we may save some. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the example of Aaron. I pray that we would all have that same urgency, zeal, and passion, and compassion, a love for people that would cause us to behave with urgency to recognize that the plague has been spread in our nation, and you want to use people like us. You want to use individuals who can soul win, can preach the gospel, to stay the plague, to rescue people, to pull them out of the fire. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the soul winning tomorrow. I pray that you fill us all with your power and your spirit. Use us greatly to see a multitude saved. And, you know, those who died today, those who died yesterday, nothing can be done about that. But there's many, many more that can be rescued and pulled out of the fire. And I pray that you would lead us to the people who are receptive towards the gospel. Please be with Pastor Anderson as he preaches. May you fill him with your power, your spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.